Once again, good morning. Appreciate Brother Marty's message this morning on the radio. Go right ahead. We got a few more papers if anybody needs some over here, although we're about to finish up this scattered mess. And we're still in the, we're in the book of Ezra. Right up underneath them books, Brother Marty. Sorry about that. Yes, sir. I guess we made it to the point of in the paragraph titled, or a couple of paragraphs titled, Adversaries Against Judah During the Rebuild. And we'll be touching on that in a little bit, but wanted to maybe read a little bit of Haggai and Zechariah here in just a little bit. But we were introduced in the book of Ezra in the fifth chapter, I think it was. We were introduced to Darius, and actually back in the fourth chapter where it was first talked about there, in the fourth chapter, fifth verse, and it talked about and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and that being Darius the second, the great, is referred to. And then we'd read last week, we'd got into the sixth chapter, talking about Darius and a decree that that he had sent out after being asked to find the decree from Cyrus. And Ezra had let, or in the book of Ezra here in the sixth chapter, Darius had let it known that in the 11th verse, talked about that he had made that decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber ye pull down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. So we were told then that Darius had found this, that Cyrus had wrote this decree, and then he had let these things be known. But the King Darius is the time, and we talked about this, of the prophets of Haggai and Zechariah. And we may read a little bit into Haggai here, just because it definitely pertains to this time frame. So if you turn to the book of Haggai, first chapter, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. And this is where it does claim him to be governor of Judah. There were governors set up, even though you had the king Darius over all of these provinces. And then later on in the book of Esther, when you read about the next king that would come about, Ahasuerus, he would be over, I think it's 127 provinces. So when you think of all these provinces, and there was governors placed over each one of these. And here it explains that Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah during this time frame. And to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, has not come the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house that lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I've heard some of you brethren preach on that, but I never understood the time frame nor the context to realize this was in the year, second year of Darius. This was still confusing times. Some of the people had been sent back by Cyrus, the 42,000 or so, but still very uncertain times. They're going back, they're trying to build. They've built the altar, now they're building up the house of the Lord. And to think that in their mindset, they're thinking, well, this is what we're supposed to do, but nothing puts a stamp on it like the Lord. And he sends these prophets to come and explain to them these times that they're in. And they let them know that the house of the Lord, you're building your houses over there and you're doing all of these other things, but you all need to step up. And honestly, there probably should have been a whole lot more from Babylon come on over there and do that. But we'll see later on, I believe there was a purpose for some that should have went, but there was definitely a purpose for some that stayed. We'll go ahead and read just a little bit more. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from the dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord and host their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year, Darius the king. And in the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? Ye now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by the dead body touch of any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Probably really didn't need to read them last two. The point being, through the second chapter and the first verse, it talks about the seventh month and the 20th day. And then in the 10th verse, it talks about the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius. That's when Haggai brought this. That's when the Lord gave this to Haggai to bring out. And it sounds like encouragement, doesn't it? It sounds like that Haggai's responsibility was to remind them that God had been with them the whole time. During all of this, during the exile, during being sent back, the Lord hadn't forgot them, and they don't need to forget the Lord. And I guess in times like this, we definitely need to keep that in mind. The other point being there in those first and the 10th, it talks about the 7th month and then the 9th month of the 2nd year. And then you go into Zechariah, flip over about one more page in your Bible probably, and it says, in the eighth month in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. So right in between the two times the Lord visited Haggai to give him something, he visited Zechariah and gave him this. It said, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath seen sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Just like what Miss Sheila said earlier, he's reminding them right here through Zechariah to turn to the Lord in these times. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is of the month Sabbath, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And honestly, I'm not going to get into that. I don't understand all that. This turns into almost revelations to me. So I kind of stopped there with my thoughts, and maybe y'all could help me out with some of that. But these prophets were come in the, it says, in the second year of Darius. And as we're going to go back into the book of Ezra now, because that's where we were introduced to Darius, was about the fourth chapter. And now by the sixth chapter, somewhere in this time frame, about this same time, is when the sixth chapter begins. And it talks about Darius, and it talks about him looking for that information from Cyrus. And we left off in the 12th verse was the last thing, or about where we finished up, I think it was. But we'll read that and read down through. Yes, sir, back in the sixth chapter of Ezra. So somewhat trying to put this chronologically in order, but trying to understand the mind frame of the people and what's going on. So if we pick up 6th chapter, 12th verse, and the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem, I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. So that's when he told them, give them more money, give them animals, give them salt and oils, and give them whatever they need to finish this temple. And I really think all of that prayer, I really think Haggai and Zechariah strengthened the people right before that would have happened. And I believe they did seek out the Lord, and I think the Lord's showing out to give these things to them. And then in the 13th, then Tatnai, governor of this side of the river, Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had said, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, that last part where they add in through Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, that hadn't happened yet. But what this is from the writer, and some say Nehemiah was the one that wrote the book of Ezra. And he would have been looking back 100 years or so, 50 to 80 years every bit of it, when this would have happened in his time frame. So he throws in the portion of Artaxerxes, king of Persia there. So that was honestly one of the things that had me confused in this time frame, because it throws in, I got Cyrus and I got Darius, but how are you speaking of Artaxerxes? Because he haven't even been there yet. But if you'll remember last week when we talked about this fifth chapter fourth chapter being somewhat confusing, it mentions Ahasuerus and it mentions Artaxerxes. So from the standpoint that Nehemiah would have been writing this, that makes sense because he goes ahead and jumps past the storyline that we're talking about there. In the 15th verse, and it says, "And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king." Now, going to our outline, if you go back a few pages, we've got kings of Persia listed. And if you look at Darius, and I've got listed there the first. Honestly, that's a mix-up. I need to correct that. That's actually Darius the second, but they refer to him as Darius the Great. And the new temple finished in the sixth year of his reign, and that's what we're just listed there in Ezra 6 and 15. And that would have been 516 B.C., if you understand his time frame to start in 521. So that's when we're saying the temple was finished, the year that it would have been finished. And then that brings us to a little bit closer to maybe understanding this 70 years or what time frame the 70 years would have covered. So maybe we'll get around to that. Is there any questions on any of that? I'm sure there's a lot I've not made clear, but we may get into our next sheet here in just a little bit and finish this.
That Darius, you said that Darius the second?
Yes, sir. The first being, as they...
When it was finished in 516, did it take 26 years?
It would have been every bit of 20 years, in my opinion. It would have been 19 to 20-year time frame. That I ain't saying it necessarily took them all of that time, but there was some starting and stopping, and there was a lot of hindrance. But it was, I'm saying it's right at 20 years to get it done. That's what I think. And that would have been, and that comes from when they were first sent back was 539 when Cyrus first came in. And they claim that date is October the 12th, 539 B.C. He would have first came in at that point, and then that's when he allowed them to go back. So if you think it takes a few months for them to get there and gather stuff up, I don't know that they would have left that day, but he allowed them to turn from that day. And then this being 516. So if you go from the exact date of 539 when Cyrus basically said y'all can go back until the 516, so yeah, you'd have had 23 years anyway, if you were to go max. I'm thinking it's probably closer to the 20-year time if you just give and take a little bit and when they started and things of that nature. But you could say 23 years and wouldn't be wrong for sure.
Seven years,
and Solomon built his house in 13 years.
Built the Lord's house before he built his house.
Amen.
He had a dwelling place. But basically, he built the Lord's house first.
Amen.
Then he built his. And these elders, I like.
Hey.
I go back all the time. Ezra was there whenever they started laying that foundation, and those young men got out there working, laboring. And that's where, you know, it said that they couldn't discern the noise because in other words, the younger that was out there working with all their heart to lay that foundation, you know, they were rejoicing, and yet the elders, those few older men, the ancient ones that was able to look back and see, you know, they wailed because, you know, and then I think that's why God sent Haggai as an encouragement to those elders that was hanging on and told them, said the glory of the latter house will be greater than the first. And then you read down there in Ezra 6:14, I believe it was, said that and the elders of the Jews build.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to believe that once they got that encouragement, and we all need that.
Amen.
You have to believe that once they were encouraged, and you're going down, and it says through the prophesying of Haggai.
Yep.
That when they got that encouragement from Haggai, that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the first.
Yes.
It said, then they build.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
I really believe when they wept because they remembered the splendor of the first, even though they were just young.
Right.
And they just thought it'll never be again. But today we need that encouragement. And I think it, all that was prophecy as far as coming to the church anyway, the glory of the church.
Amen.
But I think just little bitty things like that prophecy meant so much to those elderly people that were hanging on, you know, and it encouraged them. And then it said, then they build.
Amen.
They jump back in there, I think.
Yes.
I think we all need that sometimes.
Amen. Well said.
And it's always been through hard times when God then raises up the generation.
Amen. Israel
and Hagar, all them, he raised up that generation right there. When? After the hard times.
Yes.
Maybe during, you might say, but and it's always been, these valleys are needful.
Amen.
We don't like them, but these valleys are needful.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, this book is.
Amen.
Some of the purging that Marty was talking about this morning on the radio when we were in the valleys. We're getting trimmed back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe burn some fruit. Yeah. And Ben Sheila was talking about that yesterday, and we were sitting out there just about dark in her garden. We sit out there a lot, and talking about a lot of stuff we've been going through. I told her, I said, Mama, we got to get trimmed back every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It'll bring any fruit. And then Marty preached on that. And that's just a fact.
Amen.
And God's people are getting trimmed back a little bit.
Yep.
But it's according to how we handle it now. And it's just like when you cast a fire, boy, it's you know, how you come out of it. You can come out of it stronger and bring forward fruit, or you can come out of it just weaker in water. But I pray that we'll come out of it stronger. We'll bring forward some fruit.
Amen.
That good news from friendship this week, seeing like that. That's hot. That makes you
want to
get in there and work a
little
harder.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Well, we've read in a handful of places now about ones being raised up in the spirit, you know.
Stirred up
as that was put. Yep. I believe the Lord can still do that. We have a choice every day we make when we wake up. That's just laying it on the table. We got a choice every day. How are you going to handle these situations that are coming? And I think there's a whole bunch of people out there looking for answers. And I think a whole bunch of people have been let down by listening to the news and the media and all of that, you know, without getting into all of that. But one minute it's, boy, you got to do this. Here's the letter of the law. If you don't do this, well, as soon as something else comes up, it's a little bigger news, psst, wipe that off the table. We don't even discuss that for the next 2 weeks. And we'll bring that back up, and we'll need to start following that when others want to do something outside. You know what I'm saying? Without getting into the politics of it, but it doesn't take a very wise, intelligent group of folks to realize, well, huh, we was all worried about this until this happened. Now we're not worried about this anymore. Ain't that something? So people can see through that. And when they start choosing each day to look for real answers, I hope we're studied well enough where we can help answer some of those questions. Hope we're where we need to be in our heart and our mind, where we can help others with this. But
back in there, we talked a lot about those 12 spies that, you know, were sent into Canaan.
Man.
God told them to take it.
Yep.
And then they sent 12 spies in. The thing is, 10 of those spies come back negative and say, yep, it's exactly like God said it was, but we can't do it.
Can't be.
I think it's Caleb and Joshua.
Amen.
The Lord's going to give it to them.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to go get it. It's,
yeah.
But they listened, they chose, and their backset was they chose to listen to the 10.
Yeah.
Despite what God said. And me and you do the same thing today. We turn it, people, I don't want to get into it all day, but the television is the 10 spies.
Yeah, amen.
That's the negative. Yeah. This right here, God done said it's ours.
Amen. Yeah.
This is where the answer's at. It ain't on the television. Yes, everything's negative. Everything looks bad, but that's when he shows out.
Amen.
God done said it's ours, you know.
Amen.
I think if we look here a lot more than we look on the television, we're probably better off.
Yeah.
I'm guilty just like everybody else. But
amen.
I've learned to just get away from that thing.
Amen.
News.
And no different today than what it was then, just like the entitlement is, the adversaries against Judah. We have adversaries against us right now. No doubt about it. And It may not be physical yet. It may be coming. You never know. And I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I want to be prepared for anything that may come. But we know the one to look forward to. We know how this movie's going to end. We just don't know the time frame. We know just exactly who's going to win. I want to get on down through the 16th. And the children of Israel, the priest and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy and offered at the dedication of this house God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of tribes of Israel. And they set the priest in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, for the priest and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, for their brethren the priest, and for themselves, and the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity. And all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of the Assyrian unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So, like we had read there in the 21st, and the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land. We got to recognize there's filthiness and there's heathen of the land out there. It just is, and it's up to us not to be a part of that. Going back to our outline, at the third paragraph of Adversaries Against Judah, and we'll just touch on this, we already spoke of it, but we're going to go ahead and cover it here. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied unto the Jews, then rose up Zerubbabel and Jeshua to build the house of God. Ezra 5, 1 through 2, letters were sent to Darius by Tatnai. They asked the Jews, who commanded you to build the house? And we'd been through that. And the answer was God through Cyrus. They asked Darius the king to search for a decree made by Cyrus to allow them to rebuild the house of God. 5:17, and Darius confirms the decree made by Cyrus was found. 6, 1 through 3, then Darius told Tatnai and Shetharbaznai to leave them alone. Darius also made a decree to give them money for expenses, allow them to make sacrifices, and whoever alters this word, then let wood be pulled down from his house and hang him with it. Then let his house be a dunghill. 6, 8 through 12, the house was finished in the 6th year of the reign of Darius the king, Ezra 6 and 15, and this would have been the year of 516 B.C. So, going on into what would be my last page. I don't know if y'all's is on one page or not. We had these printed out a little different. But in the 70-year prophecy, the prophecy of Jeremiah 25 and 11 says this nation will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That was the prophecy. That's the 70 years we were looking for when we get into looking for this, whenever they were exiled. So that little bit of... Not everyone has settled on the 70 years. I believe, like Barry had said, if it says 70 years in there and the way that it was put, I believe it was exactly 70 years. Now, our start dates and our end dates may not be just exactly right, and you'll see as we cover these next few verses here, sentences, that it's going to come close in a couple of places. That doesn't mean that these dates weren't off just a little bit, so... Don't necessarily get hung up in the math if there's a couple of 3 years difference. But so the starting and ending of the timeline is different to some people. Some people believe the timeline started when Nebuchadnezzar first came. Nebuchadnezzar first came to Jerusalem during the 3rd year of Jehoiakim, and this was listed in 2 Kings 24 and 1. This would have been 605 B.C., according to the experts. Some will say that it was 608. Wasn't there, I can't tell you. So I can't argue. So these are the best that men can come up with. Some believe this is not a literal 70 years, but it serves as a standard life length. such as listed in Psalms 90 and 10, says our days are approximately 70 years. So some people say, well, it wasn't exactly 70 years. It was more of a lifetime. And then they would have. So I don't know that I agree with that, but some say that. They think the time frame would have ended by Cyrus when he becomes king in the year, and I've got a discrepancy there. That should have been 539 instead of 538, according to the experts. This would be 67 years, so approximately 70 years. So if the start date was, in fact, 605, and Cyrus becomes king, what do we say, October the 12th of 539, and he allowed all of them to go back, because it says Cyrus was stirred up to allow them to go back. That's when the 42,000 went back. So if you've got that 539 to 605, you're really close to the 70 years. And again, if that 605 is 608, if that 539 is 537-ish, you're all over 70 years right there. And that makes a lot of sense. Because, it again, when it says they will serve the king of Babylon, I think my understanding now is to be he doesn't have to be a Babylonian by descent, but he was the king over Babylon, which meaning the king of Persia at the time, because they had overtaken Babylon. So that would have been very close to fulfilling that 7 years down to the year. Other people say the Assyrian Empire fell to Babylon in 609, and Babylon fell to the Persians in 539, and that's 70 years. Although, just because the Assyrians had fell to Babylon, that wasn't when Nebuchadnezzar actually came in to Babylon. So, that gets us close. But the best 70-year span I can find, date-wise, is taken into exile, would have been when the last was taken into exile, rather. That was the third one. That was 586 B.C., and the temple destroyed. Then the new temple was finished in 516 B.C., and that would have been 70 years exactly. If you look, that's the best 70 years I can find, and if you want to say spiritually they were in Babylon because they didn't have a temple, I think it would be, you could put 70 years by even man's time frame there. But another view is Nebuchadnezzar came in 605, and they say the foundation of the temple was laid in 536, and so this would have been right around 69 plus years. But I don't think that there's a consensus of agreement of exactly where the 70 years is. But if you're asking my opinion, I do believe it is 70 years exactly. And us knowing that we could be off a few years from starting to ending, but that's what we've came up with out of our study. Any thoughts on any of that? And if you read in Zechariah, there's a couple of places that it refers to the 70 years, and it leads you to believe that that was in past tense at that point, and that would have been actually up to 3-4 years before the temple was completed. So you wouldn't have. Let's just read that. Zechariah, go back there in 1 and 12, if we can find that again.
1 and 12?
Yes, sir. It says, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou had indignation these 70 years? That leads you to believe 70 years had already passed at that given point. And then you read Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? So that's the Lord asking about these 70 years. So I believe both of these comments in Zechariah was before the finishing of the temple. So you could easily say that 70-year time frame would have probably been more like when just like it says, when they were going to serve the king of Babylon, it would have been more when Nebuchadnezzar first came in to the time that Cyrus would have allowed the 42,000 to go back. So I think, again, I can't support that 100% with the timing and dates that was given, but it's really close. It's really close, depending on your starting and end time, but you'd be really close to that 70 years. And we may pick up next week there, but one thought to look at, and I'm going to go back to Ezra real quick. In between chapter 6 and the starting of 7, so we're going to say at the end of chapter 6 and 22, but at the starting of chapter 7, you're going to fit in the book of Esther. The entire book is going to drop right in there. And the reason being, we say that because in the 7th chapter, it says, "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia." Artaxerxes came after Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the king during Esther's time. So what you have there is a jump of to the 20 years or so. So right at the end of that 6th chapter, starting of the 7th, there's a 20-year gap. And we've seen gaps before. It's not uncommon. But just know that the entire book of Esther fits right in there. And if any of y'all remember the man named Haman, how did he die? He was hung. Oh, he was hung on what he had built at his house. And we were reminded in the 6th and the 11th what Darius had said. That said, let timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, whoever goes against that word. This book's amazing. Y'all consider yourself dismissed.